you. I'm just quickly going to discuss a recent case of complication due to ejections from a chiropractor. A 68-year-old male patient with a history of hypertension, hypothyroidism, and osteoarthritis came to an acute care hospital on April 14th for a preoperative appointment for bilateral hip replacement surgery. He was admitted when several of his tests came back abnormal. 3 days later, his PET scan revealed the patient had bilateral septic hips, muscle inflammation, and multifocal gas-containing abscesses. The yellow-orangish color on the scan clearly displayed the abscesses. A few days later, the patient underwent a CT-guided drainage and cultures were collected. The patient was placed on antibiotics. The patient then underwent surgical debridements for both hips. It was interesting to note that there were no necrotic tissues nor purulent drainage. However, the patient's mental status was declining due to the infection. He told his doctor that he had been going to Mexico for pain injection management while he waited for his hip surgery. When the IP learned about the possible injections from Mexico and the extensive complication this patient was enduring, she contacted the New Mexico Department of Health. Unfortunately, the patient was not in the right mental status and did not have family members we could interview. In the meantime, the abscesses refilled and were drained again. This time, the samples were immediately divided between the CDC, SLD, as well as their lab. It wasn't until May 19th that we were finally able to conduct an interview and determine that he did not receive injections in Mexico, but rather New Mexico. So now that we knew that this was our case, we reached out to Board of Pharmacy and discovered massive gray areas in our regulations. An MDOH does not have the jurisdiction the Board of Chiropractic examiners do. The Board of Pharmacy technically oversees them. However, they strongly regulate what medications the advanced licensed chiropractors can inject. However, they do not enforce USP 797, which is the National Guidelines for Compounding Medication. Of course, the Board of Pharmacy said they should be following it, although they did not offer educational training and nor do they require on-site assessments. They only require that the advanced licensed chiropractors have a license through them. NMDOH made numerous attempts to reach out to the Board of Chiropractic Examiners with little success. When I was finally able to reach out to reach a board member, I got a convoluted answer and was asked if I could get an email clarifying our conversation to make sure I was on the same page and was told, no, we do not provide written guidance. Please refer to our regulations. However, at that time, their regulations stated it will be completed by 2022. A few days later, we conducted an interview with a chiropractor. He was very open with us and stated that he saw the patients since October 2015, twice a week, until March 29, 2016. The chiropractor denied the patient displayed any signs of infection during his visits. However, during these visits, the patient would get 10 to 14 injections totaling 24 cc's. Please keep in mind that an average syringe contains 1 to 3 cc's in his back, leg, and groin area. Interesting, the chiropractor did not think he was compounding medication since he was not using a mortar and pestle, but rather simply mixing the medication in a syringe. On June 2nd, we conducted an on-site assessment. We observed a plethora of deficiencies in infection control, injection safety, and medication preparation, particularly with compounding and environmental cleaning. We collected two multi-dose vials to test at SLD for possible contamination to help demonstrate that his injection practices were not appropriate. Please note the multi-dose vials that was used on our patient had long been exhausted. Despite everything we saw and pointed out to him, the chiropractor believes Serapin, a homeopathic medication, was the cause of the problem. He supplied us with two letters that say there was a shortage supply due to, quote-unquote, the contract laboratory aseptic filling and believed the patient's infections had come from them. Armed with this letter, I chased down the manufacturer of Serapin, and at the time it was Akron Pharmaceuticals. They supplied a statement stating that all these products passed sterility testing and denied any sterilization issues. They implied that a shortage of Serapin was due to a delay in receiving payments, thus lowering the priority of the product in production. NMDOH then sent a letter of recommendations to the chiropractor based on all the information we gathered. So the results, even though the hospital lab, state lab, as well as CDC were unable to culture the bacteria, the CDC, using conventional PCR targeting the bacteria 16S RNA gene, identified Parvomonas micra in two of the three original abscess samples. SLD was able to culture bacteria as well as fungus in both the multi-dose vials, which indicated the chiropractor injection safety practices were compromised. And unfortunately, the patient's abscesses led to bilateral resections of the femoral head due to severe septic necrosis. Eventually, the patient will need bilateral hip replacement, which was the original reason why the patient was seeking relief from a chiropractor in the first place. So even though we are unable to definitively link the abscesses with laboratory confirmation, it strongly suggests that these abscesses were caused by the injections. This was due to the locations of the abscesses that corresponded to where the injections were given, compounded 8 different medications, as well as a large volume of the site's 24 cc's. So, thank you. Maybe next year I will make the time.